recall to worship. This title is very evocative. It presupposes that once upon a time, all mankind worshipped. And they did. When all mankind consisted of the unfallen Adam and Eve, everything they did was Eucharistic. Everything they did praised and honored and glorified God. They were fulfilling His purpose, beginning to carry out His grand design, the consummation of which they couldn't dream. And Jesus Christ, when He talked to that woman by the well, looked forward to the time when all mankind, redeemed, would again be true worshippers, worshipping the Father in spirit and truth. And then He said almost pathetically, "The Father seeketh such to worship." In all the world, in every age, in every land, bridging race, sex, age, He is looking for those who worship Him. Part number one, the globe and the gospel. This seeking ministry is carried out by the proclamation of the gospel that is represented by John in vision as being the everlasting gospel. Now, this word everlasting is an interesting word. It suggests from age to age, from epoch to epoch. God has a gospel that jumps from age to age to age. It met Adam and Eve at the time of their fall. It sufficed for Noah. It was adequate for Abraham and his time. It was the central theme of the preaching of Moses. It was the heart of the Psalms. And it was the proclamation of the apostles and the apostolic church. It is the same gospel that was preached to them that is now preached to us, Paul says in Hebrews 4:1. And as John looked at it, he saw that it was this age-enduring, surviving, continuing, epoch-to-epoch gospel that must be proclaimed to all the dwellers on the earth, nationally, racially, linguistically, every nation, kindred, tongue, people, differences of individuals. This is the great call, the call of the gospel, to come to worship. Part number two. It is a call to fear God and glorify Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I have observed many, many times that I think that fear, running scared, is the beginning of all sense. Let me illustrate it. The man who is careful on a very fast freeway, who is careless and fearless on a very fast freeway, the man who has no fear for cutting machinery, will sooner or later have an accident. He must respect through danger. In the highest sense, since God is a God whom no man can approach, He will no means clear the guilty. We begin by realizing that we may be destroyed. That's the beginning, since we are human. And that fear beginning and realizing the scope, the power, the eternity, the wisdom of God, and His condescension to deal with us leads us to glorify Him. Now, I am not one of those who brushes aside the fear aspect. Fear is a very helpful emotion. It's the beginning of divine wisdom. It leads to the glorification of God. So we are called to fear God and glorify Him because we have arrived at the hour of His judgment. Part number three, we are called to worship the Creator. Worship means to ascribe worthiness, worth-ship, to the Creator, the one who has devised, the one who has designed, the one who has made all the relationships of atoms to molecules, to elements, to systems in the organic sphere the bodies, the organisms, and in the macro sphere to the universe. And every part is dependent on other parts, and every part exists to bless and help the fulfillment of the function of every other part. Realizing this, we say, worthy is the Creator who made all these things. Part number four. We are called to come out of Babylon into a singular, unique, specific relationship with the Creator. Because Babylon and all it stands for will doubly fall. And the reason for the fall of Babylon is clearly given. She has made all nations drunk, that is, bemused, incapable of thinking coherent, clear, logical thoughts, with the wine, that is, the philosophy of her fornication, unlawful union of church and state, that is, the blending into the theology and philosophy of the true church of God, the philosophies of the kingdoms of men. And then she has utilized force, which is represented by the word wrath. And because she has combined in her philosophy of life the kingdoms of the earth with the things of the kingdom of heaven, and she has bemused the minds of all nations, she is going to fall. God only wants his people to drink of the wine of the new covenant, ratified by the blood of Christ. And therefore the call is to come out from this enervating, mind-destroying relationship to worship God in simplicity and truthfulness and sincerity. Part number five. Beware of apostasy. Apostasis. Standing away from Adam and Eve, mankind, stood in a right relationship with God and then moved away from it. Apostasy is the moving away from the divine ideals. After Pentecost, when God had established the New Testament church, they were in a right standing with him. But the Apostle Paul warned that from among the members of the church there would come apostasies. In 2 Thessalonians 2, there would come a falling away. In Matthew 24, there would come a deception by false teachers who would move away, who would take a stand different from the stand that had been laid down by the Church of Jesus Christ. And those who follow this kind of apostasy, represented by the beast and his image, they are stigmatized. They receive a mark in their minds, in their foreheads, in their daily activities, in their hands. And they drink of the wine of the wrath of God, because they have drunk of the wine of the wrath of the fornication of Babylon. So we are warned not to be infused with erroneous philosophies and teachings that lead to evil activities as a result of blending the things of the earth with the things of God. Part number six, true worshippers. True worshippers are called by John saints, and as I have mentioned in Psalm 50 and verse 5, a saint is a person who has entered the new covenant relationship with God through the sacrifice of Calvary. And here is the patience, the exhibition of suffering under in steadfastness of these covenant believers in Calvary. And how do they show their status? They keep carefully observe the commandments of God. All thy commandments are righteousness. So they keep all righteousness through the faith of Jesus. The faith that is given them by Jesus, that empowers them to keep. And so we here have a picture of these covenant believers, these true saints, these true worshippers who have righteousness. They keep the commandments by faith, the faith of Jesus. So righteousness by faith is the climax of the third angel in verity. The third angel's message must include Revelation 14 verse 12. And so the call of worship, the recall to worship that started immediately after the fall of man, reaches its climax in the day of judgment when there are revealed those who have obtained righteousness by faith in Jesus Christ through the covenant relationship that he ratified on Calvary.